Good morning. The first scripture verse is found in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And we're going to be reading from verse 9 all the way through the end of verse 16. Been studying the book of Genesis quite a bit for the past couple of years. And one thing we learned in Genesis is that God is spirit. And when God created the world, his spirit of God was hovering over the face of the deep. And then later on, we find out God created man. God created man male, and God created man female, and he created each in his own image. And you begin to ask yourself, what does that mean to be created in the image of God? Well, we find in the book of Hebrews that the word of God is a sharp double-edged sword, dividing body, soul, and spirit. So also we're introduced to some concepts. We have a body, we have a soul, and there's a spirit. I tend to like things packaged up in nice, neat little packages. And this one doesn't fit my God box too well. So I've been all my years trying to comprehend what it is to have a spirit and have the spirit of God indwell me and speak to me. And I realized that since a very young age, ever since I was baptized, the Spirit of God has been moving and working on my life. All along, he's been teaching, instructing, and a lot of convicting on my soul and on my spirit. And even though I didn't comprehend it, it kind of doesn't matter. Because God is God, and God chose me, he chose you, and he's going to move in our lives. So we don't have to comprehend it all. We just have to accept it and turn to him. This first passage from 1 Corinthians talks about how God, through his spirit, speaks to our spirit and teaches us things. And we can be taught by God himself. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. However, it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed it to us by his spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. We have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual man makes judgments about all things, but he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. The second scripture this morning is found in the book of Matthew, chapter 5. And we're going to read from verse 13 to the end of that section, which is going to be the end of verse 20, I believe. Matthew 5, verse 13. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of the pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Anyone who breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commandments will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. This ends the readings.
I'd like to invite kids to come on down. Got seats here, got a couple there. Pick them out. Sit on a lap if you have to. They're all here. Find the lap. Squeeze together, butt to butt, hip to hip, hip to hip to hip to hip. Squeeze in there. Oh, good. One more. One more. Make room for them. There you go. Mark hasn't bit anybody lately. You're okay. Good. We're going to talk about something that's hard for us to understand. Mr. Grossman was trying to explain that he talks about the Spirit, and the Spirit is something you cannot see. Just like you see a piece of paper, right? Yeah. Did you see the air that made it move? No. I'm going to tell you a true story. When I was born, my dad and mom determined that they were going to teach me how to ice skate. Now, I couldn't even walk hardly. But dad had an old sled, and he screwed an old wooden box to it, and they put me in there with a bunch of blankets around it, and they dragged me with them all across the ice, giggling, laughing, and having a great time while they went ice skating. When I got a little bit older, they bought me my first set of ice skates. They were called sled skates. They were as big as my foot. They had two runners, and you could literally stand on them and go like this. That was what I was able to do. I was only 1 year old. When I got a little bit better, they bought me another set of skates where there was two runners, but they were much closer together, so I had to practice learning how to balance and ice skate. That's right. When I got a little bit older, my dad would take me under the arms when he was really little, and he would skate with me like this. And we'd go across the ice, and I pretended like it was really me skating, but it felt really good. Now, you know who was helping me skate. Who was it? Dad. Your dad. And if you could, he was doing all the work, and we were racing across the ice, and I felt like it was such fun because there was wind in my face and having a good time.
Yeah, I was there.
You were?
Yeah, and I had a merry-go-round and a train.
A merry-go-round and a train. Did they have ice skates?
No.
Okay. Got to run with it. Well, who knows? There might be more wisdom any minute. And that's right. You got to wait for summertime again. Yes. So anyway, when I finally got old enough, my dad bought me my first set of real ice skates, and they were what we call racing skates. They were the real long runners. And I had to learn how to skate on them and learn how to go around corners and cut things and stop. You learned how to stop 2 feet together. And pretty soon, my dad did not have to put his arms under my arms. I was able to walk and skate alone. Now, today we're going to learn about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has been given to you. And it's a little bit like when you first start doing something, you don't always understand how the Spirit works, because the word Spirit in the Bible actually means the wind of God, which means I change your life, I make your life move, and you don't always get to see why it works that way. But as I grew older, I began to understand Dad had taught me how to move my feet and taught me not to be afraid as I was racing across the ice. And pretty soon, I was able to skate all by myself in races and everything. Now, one of the things you're going to learn about the Spirit today in the sermon is that God has given you this much stuff, but you can only understand this much. That's like me in the sled, in a box, wrapped around by blankets, getting pulled by my dad. And I go, oh, look how fast I'm going, and whatever I thought when I was only 1 or 2 years old.
And I was going to fireworks.
And then there's fireworks, true. I'll work it. Maybe it'll come back around. Who knows? Yeah, you. Now we opened that up. I know. I should be careful. Anyway, today in the sermon, we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit and why God gave him to you. See, in my dad's head, from the time I was little, he knew what he wanted me to be able to do, which was skate all on my own, all by myself, as fast as I could possibly go. I didn't know and understand that till I got a little bit older, but my dad understood it the whole time. The Holy Spirit has things he's put inside of you that he's given to you that you don't know about yet. Things that what he is going to give you the ability to do and say and places for you to go. And as you continue to grow older, each year you're going to understand him a little better. Each year you're going to be able to do more and more because God wants you to be able to do it with his Spirit in you so you no longer have to hold on the same way. So in my sermon this morning, we're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit, which is the wind or the power of God, which we cannot see. But in the middle of it, we're going to learn that God has given you, me, and everybody here his Holy Spirit because he does not want to keep any secrets from you. He really doesn't. He wants you to know and understand him. Can you remember for that in the sermon for me? We're going to read about that. In the last line of the sermon today, it's going to say, you have the mind of Christ, which is a promise from God to you and me, which means I can think the way God wants me to think. All right, can you remember that? Good. We have the candy lady over there. Ladies first. Ladies first. Hurry up. Take one, save it for next month. Yeah, there's hopefully.
Thank you, Pastor.
You're welcome, honey. Go ahead, guys.
Thank you, Pastor.
You're welcome, sweetie. That's all right. Let them in there. It's okay. Anyone else? Jump in. Take one for your dad, too. He may be one.
Yeah.
Oh, you got one for your dad, huh? There we go. Text I'm going to be using is the one in Corinthians. The idea, of course, is that we can't even conceive of all that God has in store for us. That it actually says, prepared for us. I didn't understand a box drilled and attached to a sled until I got old enough to see the pictures of what Mom and Dad did for me growing up. It isn't that it didn't happen, it's that I wasn't really comprehending all the things that were happening. I didn't understand the significance of sled skates. I didn't understand the physics of it, where if you got a skate that's this wide, it's like the roller skates that have four wheels and not in a row, but wider apart, you can just kind of stand on them much more easily, things like that. As I grew older, of course, eventually I understood not only how skates worked, but how you had to hold your ankles, your feet, and everything else to pick up speed and all the things that you had to learn. Now, my dad knew all those things ahead of time. In other words, he literally, I believe in his heart, had and was prepared to help me learn how to be an accomplished speed skater. Because he was an accomplished speed skater. I didn't understand that until I got old enough to have my very first pair of skates, and I got some additional lessons and a few things like that. But But the idea, of course, was God had prepared, or my dad had prepared beforehand, before I even conceived of it. It was like when he would take me on a bike ride. Dad had a 10-speed bike, which was what nobody had back in the old days, when we rode horse and buggy mostly. But a 10-speed bike, and he would take me with him on his bike. And I was two or three. And he put a seat right on the center bar. And it was about this long, and it was about this thick, well padded, and I'd sit in its side saddle. And Dad would have one arm on one side, the other arm on the other, and we'd go down the track or around the place as fast as we could go. Dad was teaching me not to be afraid of bike riding. I didn't know that. He knew it. He understood where he was going to take me. I didn't know it, but it was there all the time. I could have asked, if I was smart enough to ask, I could have said, why am I doing this? What are you going to do with me? Where are we going with this? But he had and was very much aware. Now, I pick that because an earthly father functions very much like the heavenly father, only here we're learning in the first line of this section, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind or heart can conceive of those things God has prepared for you. They're beyond your understanding. You don't understand that I was the first guy in the neighborhood to get a 3-speed bicycle. You know how old I am now, right? It was my mother's. It was a girl's bike. I identified quite comfortably with that, not as a girl, as having the best bike. And so finally, when I was able to purchase my first bike at about 10 or 12, I was selling newspapers and everything, I went out and bought a Denelt 10-speed, gold, $88. Back then it was like $2,040, but you understand. And so here we are, God looks at you and he says, I have so much more for you people I love. I just care more about you than you can possibly imagine. I want you to, like an earthly father, I want you to taste the joy of racing across ice, hearing it crackle under your feet sometimes, moving faster than you can possibly imagine. I want you to have that blowing of the wind into your face, and you're successfully starting and stopping and playing games and helping people learn and all the other things that it included. And here I was learning things that I didn't even conceive I was learning until you look back and say, wow, I had a dad who. Here's what he wants you to be able to say. I have a God who. A God who has more prepared, already past tense, prepared for you than you can possibly ask or imagine. And so you begin to recognize what God is doing here in this particular section that we're reading in Corinthians. All right? It goes on at that point and it says this. But, and that's the best part of that first verse there, verse 9, God has revealed it to us by His Spirit. I'm finally old enough, well, a little bit earlier, of course, than this, but I was old enough to finally understand the implications of what Dad was doing for me. I didn't realize that everybody's dad didn't ride their bike with the kid on the thing around the neighborhood. I didn't realize that everybody's dad didn't buy him a bicycle and teach him how to ride it. I didn't realize, those are things you had to uncover. I didn't realize that everybody's dad didn't throw the softball and turn the jump rope so that we could learn how to jump rope, throw the softball and play catch. I didn't know that until I got older. But I point out, as it points out in this text, God has revealed those things to you. He's looking at you and he says, you may not always understand what's going on in your life, but I have more prepared for you than you can ask or imagine. And some of us are being pulled on a sled in a box. And some of us got our first sled skates. And we're learning how to just stand up on them and pretend we're not going to fall over. And some of us are actually ready to learn how to cut and turn left and right on speed skates or whatever you want to picture. And here's God going, keep going, kid, keep going. Why? Because I want you to taste what real freedom is. I want you to taste why you were created. I want you to understand that I can show you and teach you and give you things you can't possibly comprehend until you do them, until you experience them, until the power of God enters your life and the Holy Spirit just goes, boom, and your eyes open up. And you begin to recognize spiritually who you are. It isn't that you're not those things. It isn't that my dad didn't want to teach those things to me. I wasn't mature, intellectually strong enough, wise enough to grapple with why I'm on sled skates and why the next set of skates was a little bit narrower but still had two blades and still the other things that I had to learn along the way. And so within the framework of this context now, we start looking at this. God has revealed it to us by His Spirit. The word Spirit, I think, appears, well, there's spirit and spiritual probably 10, 12 times. If you don't understand the work of the Holy Spirit, that's all right, but it's not good. Okay? It means I have given you something. You will feel it. You'll experience it. I didn't understand what I can look at you and say, the joy of feeling the wind in my face, of riding on a bicycle at a relatively high speed with Dad's arms on either side of me, keeping me from falling off. I didn't understand why that was such a thrill. I didn't understand how lucky or fortunate I was. But I still learned and grew through each of those experiences from my father and from the people that he brought into my life to help me learn those things. So he goes on and says this, the Spirit searches everything, even the deepest things of God. And I'm looking at you going, do you understand you have the Spirit of God in you? And the Spirit of God understands God? And that in the middle of that moment, there is so much more for you to get that you can't possibly begin to comprehend it. Are you watching what's happening over in the Middle East? Are you worried about a bigger war? Are you worried about this? Are you worried about that? Concerned about one person or another? All the things that we legitimately have concerns over, and God whispers to you, I have given you my Spirit so that even in those situations, you will be able to discern. Remember when they destroyed Jerusalem, God said, when you see the abomination that causes desolation forming up outside Jerusalem, you run to the mountains. You don't stay in the city. You take off. Why? He was revealing a situation that was beyond your comprehension. They could not believe the walls of Jerusalem were going to be torn down. They could not conceive that the temple itself would be ripped apart and there wouldn't be one stone left standing on another. But they could conceive when the abomination that causes desolation, the Roman Empire, the soldiers, the army, gathering around the city of Jerusalem, they understood what it meant. Run for your life. Don't go back to your house. Take nothing with you. That they could grapple with. The same thing is true in your life. It isn't like God's sitting up there going, try and figure life out. Try and figure me out. I'm really too complicated for you. It says, no, I've given you my Spirit. I want you to get this. I want you to understand it. So he goes on from there. It says this. Spirit searches even the deep things of God. For who among a man knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? Nobody knows you like you know yourself. And even that's a little shaky sometimes because sometimes we surprise ourselves. I didn't know I was so short-tempered. I didn't know I was so close to fretting or worrying, or I didn't know how moody I could get. And all the different things that we're all capable of, that we can even surprise ourselves. But ultimately, who knows you better than you know yourself? Who knows? Proverbs says, no one can share the grief or even the joy of another person's heart quite the same way as that person who's going through the grief or the joy. And you begin to understand because there's a uniqueness about you. And so as he finishes his thought off in this sentence, it says this, we have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given to us. You understand? This is God's going, I want you to know. Sometimes we get angry. Why is it going like this, God? Well, I'm taking America down. I don't know how you're going to feel about that, but it's not going to make it. Do you want to hear that? Or do you want to hear instead, when you hear the abomination that causes desolation, flee to the mountains? Which one can you handle? You see, the dilemma is not God's willingness to reveal. The dilemma is my capability of absorbing, handling, or functioning under the revelation that's been given to me. The disciples hated the fact that Jesus kept revealing to them, I will go up to Jerusalem, they will arrest me, they will throw me in jail, they will put me on a cross, and they will crucify me. Oh, no, no, Lord, they can't do that. Don't go near Jerusalem. You stay away. They could not handle the reality of what was being revealed to them. But don't blame God, don't blame Jesus, because they couldn't handle it. How much I can handle, do you really want to know the day you're going to die? Do you really want to know, you know, a thing about your mother, your father, your brother, your sister? Do you really want to know all that stuff? There are people that can handle it. Every prophet I've ever read about in the Bible struggled with being a prophet. They struggled with prophecy because it's kind of like, Lord, this is too much for me to handle. No, you go and confront David. You tell him he's a murderer. But David's the king. Nathan would be crying out to God. Can you imagine? I got a job for you. You're going to talk to the most powerful man in Egypt, Moses, and he could kill you in a blink of an eye, and you are going to tell him, he better let my people go or he will regret it. God, can you find somebody else? My brother's a pretty good talker. What about him? You know, those are the kind of things that we have going on that we have to realize. And yet, I want you to understand the problem is not on God's side. The problem is not on his unwillingness to open up the floodgates of heaven and pour blessing into my life or your life. The problem is me. I have no room to absorb some of that information. My heart isn't big enough to love some people. My mind isn't strong enough to recover from some things that are revealed to me. And so I sit in the middle of this and I want to blame God. And God whispers to me, I will tell you. I will reveal you. In fact, I will give you my spirit who searches the deepest things in me. This is not a mystery. You are loved. This is not secretive. My father, I could have looked up out of that little sled and say, hey, Dad, when am I going to learn speed skates? I couldn't even learn how to stand on my own 2 feet. I wasn't prepared to answer that question. Could Dad have explained to me? First, I got to get you here, to here, to here, to here. And so that's the kind of text that we're reading together. It goes on, verse 12, we have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given to us. Please note the phrase. Freely given. I didn't say, Dad, you got to teach me how to skate. I never said, Dad, you have to ride me on your bike. That was within his heart. And that's an earthly father's heart. And all of your earthly fathers did that in varying degrees, in whatever ways they could feel a way of expressing that. And the point ultimately is, you were loved beyond your comprehension. You were being worked on and things were being prepared for you that you couldn't possibly understand. You know, honey, I'm saving for your college. Oh, wow, Dad, what's college? Right? Isn't that a possibility? And you begin to understand the nature of what God's doing for us in these sections as we go on. Verse 13, this is what we speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. So Paul immediately comes back to himself. He says, I'm not teaching you anything you don't know. I'm just revealing it to you in case you didn't understand. God's not being tricky. God's not hiding things away. This is not a mystery. God has done this beforehand, prepared before you were even created. This was his heart to reveal to you what you can't handle and what you're able to understand so that you can move and function and do the things that you're doing. Paul looks at you and he says, that's why I speak in spiritual words, in spiritual language, in a way that only some people can handle. Some of you can ice skate. You understand what it means to put balance on your skates. You understand the advantage or the disadvantage of a sharp skate or a dull skate. Some of you have no idea because you've never been on the ice. Some of you have never been on a lake to hear the ice crack underneath you. One of my favorite stories I always tell you is one of the retreats I took the high school kids on was a winter retreat. And the lake was frozen over. It was up on Lake Shano. And I said, let's go out on the lake. And these kids are squirming and hollering and whining. But I've never walked on a lake. Pastor, you're going to be fine. I said, if it'll hold me, it'll hold all you guys. But you get the idea. And so out to the lake, and I eventually made them lay down on their backs on the ice. I don't know if you've ever been on a lake in the middle of the night, looking up at the stars. It's unbelievably beautiful. But then lakes do this. The ice cracks because water expands and the ice can't find any place to go. It pushes so hard that it'll shove a piece up or down. And all of these kids that were never been out on the lake, and run to the shore. Did I intend evil for them? Not at all. Did I want them to understand what they can be capable of? Did I understand that the water underneath them was only 3.5 feet deep? Yes. Did they know it? No. Was I going to tell them? No. But you begin to understand that the whole process, God looks at you and he says, you are such a joy to me. Your well-being is more than you can comprehend. I've sent my son to save you. Do you understand? There's not a tear that you've shed that I was ignorant of. There's not a fear in your heart that I'm unaware of. There is nothing hidden from me. My spirit that searches the innermost part of who I am as God also searches the whole world. It sees you. It understands your motivations. He, the Spirit of God, is more than able to understand before you even ask what you want in your prayer to begin working toward that for your life. That doesn't mean you shouldn't pray, but it means that he's working with that kind of diligence in your life. And he goes, do you understand how much you are loved? Finishing the section off, it goes on from there. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God. They're foolishness to him. He cannot understand them because they're spiritually discerned. I've used the analogy for you. Sometimes you must yada. All right? Das ist aber schade. Was mag's mit Ihnen? One was German, one was gibberish. You understand? You might have understood the German. I don't know what I said with gibberish. Okay? But the point is ultimately this, as he points this out. They can't hear it. You can say it to them, they can't hear it. That's why even as I'm preaching this sermon, some of you are going, oh my goodness, God, you love me that much. Yes. And you've held every one of my tears. Yes. And you care more about me more than I can understand. And you have so many more prepared things for me that I haven't begun to even ask or imagine. I can't even see or hear or imagine in my heart how wonderful and marvelous they're going to be. And God whispers, no, you're not going to be able to. And so he takes us, as he says this, when you're talking to a worldling, those without the Spirit of God, please understand, you have to figure out a different way of communicating and how I'm going to say the truth that God wants them to hear, because the Spirit of God is working on them and has good things prepared for them, and they're not exempt or eliminated, but they haven't tasted any of it and they have no words or ability in their head to hear it or understand it. It goes on from there and it says this, the spiritual man can make judgments about all things, but he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. There's only one person you're accountable to. You have one boss. It's not your wife. It's not your husband. It's not your mother. It's not your father. It's your Lord. And your Lord won't let you fluff around. Your Lord won't let you manipulate him. Oh, God, could you just turn away? I want to do this sexual sin for a little while. Do you mind? You think God goes, oh, sure, Bruce, whatever you say. You know, do you think God is up there being manipulated by tears, being manipulated by my anger, my disappointment? You don't know how frustrated I am, God. You don't. Bruce, knock it off. I've got it figured out. I know what you want. I have so much more prepared for you. And so one of the things that you're being encouraged to understand is this final point. Who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? And the answer is no one. But then he goes right back to you and it says, you have the mind of Christ. And so one of the things that he's challenging us with is that concept that I shared with you last Sunday, walking in the Spirit. I was going to bring two kids up, and I didn't know how it would go in the children's sermon, and I was going to have one be flesh and the other be spirit. And I didn't have enough time to work it out with them, so it would have been a little bit unfair to expect them to pull it off with me. But I go, if you hang around with this friend, that's when you get in trouble. That's when you steal and cheat and lie and manipulate and all the things that this friend encourages you to do. But when you hang with this one, as soon as you get close to them, they're walking down the road and they're doing something brand new and different. They're heading to learn how to do this, or they're building an ice boat with you, or they're helping you repair your car, or doing something. What? That's how much different one person can be around the other person. And the question is, who are you hanging around? Are you hanging around the sinful nature, the flesh that gets stirred up inside of you so that you keep making wrong decisions? Or is the Spirit of God, that's the other thing I thought about with the children, I said, they probably could answer any question I could just about give them. Would God want you to lie to your mom? Oh, my God wants me to lie to my mom whenever it's convenient. What God do you have? It wouldn't take long for the other kids to look them in the eye and know exactly what's going on. And so here's God going, I've got more prepared for you. Your eyes, your ears, your heart cannot even conceive it or picture it in your mind. It's so much better. I've shared with you before, they've shared and explained, they said that your ability to see colors is so limited. In the spectrum of colors, it's about this long on the page, and you see this much. And I'm overwhelmed by color. Aren't you? Flowers, insects, bugs, butterflies, the sky, the waters. Color just overwhelms me. And God whispers and says, you ain't seen anything yet. And I go, that's a loving God, loving a son who he wants to learn how to ice skate, ride a bike, and do anything else my loving father did for me, but also what he wants you to do. I want you to have such a level of joy and confidence that when the walls come crumbling down around you, you know who you can trust in. I want you to know the next time you don't think you can go on for another day, I will pour into you both power, ability, and wisdom to not only live in another day, but thrive through it and learn from it. And so here's God. His message to you is, do you understand? I have more for you than you can possibly guess, and I want to give you all of it. I want you to pour it into your life. Pray with me if you would. Lord, we need your hope and your truth. We need your power in our lives and in our hearts. We need an ability, Lord, to just see your hand of mercy and grace, to recognize even in the hard things that we deal with, the things that just put so much weight upon us and responsibilities that burden us down, and sicknesses and suffering and diseases and problems like that. And in the middle of it, you whisper, God, with such a tenderness, I will be there for you. I have more prepared for you than your eyes, your ears, your heart can even comprehend. Just trust me as you lean forward into your life. Lord, teach us how to be those people of trust. We pray this in your name. Amen.